Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of The Crypt Files, your once weekly follow-up to the hit, the In at the End D&D podcast. We just met
we had a
urban legend of Quilton Bay.
Turns out, not a bad guy.
Yeah,
turns out, yeah.
At this point in the story.
I personally love how the consistent canon of you know, our game has been like, kids don't get hurt. And in the rare instances that they do in the background, we have a vengeful person who's been pushing those people down cliffs to die and then torturing their souls.
Yeah, and throwing rocks.
Yeah, I do like that. I loved Jenkins. I thought he was fun. And I like that he wasn't actually like a bad person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He subverted, like, think about all of the times we've come and met a bad guy. He's subverted our expectations like every time. We should
every
be used
time.
To it, but it's yeah. kind of like, it's kind of fun to be like, oh, the bad guy that we thought is actually like just a fine normal person.
Yeah. And,
like that happened with the hag, like
bad.
Early on.
Speaking of, what was the motivation behind wanting to get, what was their partner that died?
Belna
Fringe. Mm-hmm.
What was the motivation for Purva? Bringing
it's probably
back.
It's probably
is
just
it
her
just,
friend.
Is it just companionship, or was there something more nefarious?
I don't think more nefarious. I think it was just that was a duty that like a mistake that happened, and Herva wants to fix that mistake.
Yeah. Right. Maybe she just felt responsible. Yeah,
exactly. Like, yeah, it was like this is what ended our adventuring career. I'm going to fix this thing that happened. Right. I'm not going to move on past it. I'm going to fix the problem.
Did she feel guilty like maybe her dying was kind of her fault?
I think so.
Okay.
Because I haven't like written an adventure.
Sure. I'm sure you don't have like a full thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of highlights.
But I feel like her and Rav were the like brash ones. They were the ones that were wanting to do all the crazy stuff. And so their risky behavior is
right.
what cost one of their friends. Or at least that's what Purva thinks.
And you can almost see too, like, just in our interactions with her and her dress, her arms and armor, her gigantic bag of money, her detailed ledger. Like, she's also like seems like a person who has like high expectations of herself, and probably because she's been a high performer her whole life. Mm-hmm. And like this thing happened. It happened with her team. It's like, you know, it's one of those things like she can't let go of.
It's like perfectionism.
Mark. Yeah.
Like, I can't let go of this one thing.
Exactly. It would be ace if Simon died.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking like there's some similarities, but in the dynamic like of their group as it was in our group now. Like,
that's true.
And that's what I kind of want to set up with, you know, Ghoul was always like, what happens if an adventurer retires?
Right.
That's Ghoul. And I'm like, well, now that we're like expanding, like let's just have this look at what your, you know, your group would be in the future.
Right.
Let's like have a visceral, like something we can tackle in game of like, here's an adventuring group after adventure.
Yeah.
And you're an adventuring group starting adventure. Yeah. And it's like, I just wanted to put those two things in the same space
to just
see what happens.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, hopefully in some sort of macabre happy ending, Purva and Belna are now together. And, socializing.
Yeah. Yeah.
In whatever way they want.
It pisses me off that Ace's like weird motherly figure searching is like partially towards Gould. Like that bugs me.
That bugs a lot of us. Really. Like the whole mother searching.
You know, this thing that bothers you is something you did.
Something I created.
So you could just, you know,
but
not.
It's
beyond
is,
my control now.
It is
I can't
not,
help it. The character's taking
I'm chained
it.
To the character.
It is Ace's.
I sit down and I am possessed by Ace.
With Old Man Jenkins, I did want to subvert that, but I also, you know, I don't want to run a story about like,
yeah, I was
the
nervous.
File and is like, no, yeah. I'm going to make him Chris Hansen.
Let's flip this,
and then just gossip got away,
yeah.
and
I
the story got turned and turned and
imagine the fan mail.
He was surprisingly okay with the way the stories were written after.
The way I was imagining it was that he did all of this in secret. Because he was just murdering people.
Well, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
In his head, is like what he was doing was in some way wrong, but
so he's okay with any sort of maybe negative.
He was okay with him taking that.
Okay,
like, you know what? If I get sent to hell, that's fine.
Yeah.
Being I'm sent to hell. I'm making sure these people are punished.
Being sent to hell is different than everyone from a town calling you a pedophile.
He's dead and he knows. In memoriam. You know, it's like he knows that he probably had a net positive, you know. Mm-hmm. I do kind of think it'd be fun. Like, just the act of, like, imagine not going that route with old man Jenkins, and like we handle it poorly, and like the fan mail rolls in and they're like, you were too soft on the pedophile, yeah, you know. Yeah, yeah. It's like, well, no, we really despise his actions and we don't condone it, but
yeah. Oh, boy.
But anyway, he handled that for us by putting them into a crystal prison where they just howl in agony the whole time.
Because the idea is, if they, you know, if their souls go beyond into the next life,
then their torture is over.
Then they they end up in the nine hells, and their souls get turned into like slugs, and then a demon shows up and takes them, and then that's it. And
he
wants
their personhood.
Old man Jenkins
suffer.
Wants torture.
Yeah,
and he wants like
it makes sense that he employed Torog's little tricks.
Absolutely. And because that's the thing with Torog is all about torture and punishment and pain.
Yeah.
Not for any reason.
Just nice. Just it's punishment.
Just
he's
for the sake of it.
The Cthulhu of, we matter not.
He is the neutral evil of the evil.
If I had used my chain, would that have made a difference with a disadvantage or no?
No. That was just,
What was their disadvantage? What was that about?
From being blurry.
Ethereal. That's just the ethereal. It's the blur.
Oh, okay.
In essence, it's a way of mitigating their AC and hit points as part of
that
equation.
Yeah, you mentioned
that.
That's kind of their defense is the disadvantage.
Is they have the disadvantage, but they have a 14 AC. They're easy to hit.
Because they are essentially coming in and out of our plane, correct?
Right.
And I was trying to figure out, while everyone's chatting, I was trying to figure out if fairy fire, like, how would that work on somebody when they change planes? And it seems like the consensus is if it's cast on the material plane, it's on them and it doesn't go away when they shift to the ethereal.
Right.
But it's not active in the ethereal. When they come back into the physical, it's somehow...
It would be. Mechanically, it would be. These aren't shifting between planes.
They're just going into
they're
the wall.
They're just able to move through things, right. is how it is. Because there are other creatures that can shift into the ethereal and come out. And like if you fairy fire someone, that doesn't go away until it goes away. So
people were saying like, oh yeah, you can't cast it on them when they're in the ethereal.
Unless
you're on the same plane.
I mean, unless you can see them.
Yeah.
Really.
We had a session of combat where I didn't rage. That was kind of weird.
Yeah.
That was it seemed like it was an accident, right?
No. I intentionally didn't want to rage because they were popping in and out of shit, and it was like, yeah, I probably
would have been a waste.
Yeah, may not get an attack opportunity.
I see.
But it was weird to not rage.
Mm-hmm. See, that's you got to carry like a big holster bag of like mice or rats or whatever, so that way like
that's
when
right,
you're
that's
so, you
right.
can
oh,
pop
you can
it out
attack
and
one.
Well, I had this really cool family ring for a while that
about a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, made it so I didn't have to attack stings.
Gosh, that would have been nice. Huh?
Would have been nice. Yeah. Well,
then I probably would have raged then.
What'd you do with that?
It's in the ocean
gave it to
somewhere.
My sister.
Oh. I thought you threw no, that was the sending stone that we threw into the ocean.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
I think
do you guys
actually
still have any sending stones?
I don't think so.
No,
we picked up another one.
You got some new ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, we got one that goes to Alistair.
Yeah, we have one.
I think you immediately, didn't you try to?
Yes. Oh, I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
I forgot that about the sending stone shenanigans.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Oh my God.
I got 24 fuck you, so I can send.
Yeah, I think
if I make it into one word, it's 50.
Yeah.
I think we definitely have one because remember the idea was like we have to let Alistair know we're coming, and we were thinking about using one of the sending stones to create a diversion of like we're coming, bitch.
You have
and
you
ended
have
up
grabbed
coming
sending
up.
Stones.
Yeah.
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 And so we haven't used them.
No.
Just the one
just the
time.
When we've found them.
Yeah.
That's the last time.
Just
we
to
used
see
them.
Who had them.
Yeah, we plan on using them before we attack to make him think we're coming by sea.
And the coolest thing is I have an orb now that lets me see the warehouses at the dressing room.
Honestly?
God damn it.
That's cool.
It could be handy.
I got really excited for a second because I was like, maybe I could put my orb in the bag and then I could see what's in the bag. I was like, nope, wait, that won't work. Anyway,
I like it, and I like all the gear.
The
dagger.
I mean,
the
gear and the orb.
I want the boots.
They caught somebody trying to steal stuff from him, and they had that full getup.
Ah,
the orb of warehouse seeing that they had stolen from a rescue.
The fact that they got caught with all that gear in action is pretty impressive.
They were some good thieves.
Yeah, and remember how we were going to split the gear, but he said it was a set, and so I gave you my two pieces. And
is that why I have boots that I didn't remember getting?
I want Probably. The
boots. Okay.
I want the boots.
Yeah, even over your muddy boots?
Yes. No, 100%. Those make it so I can pick locks essentially with a kick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that
I have
seems very ace like.
I have advantage on athletic checks when I'm raging, so I could really kick some doors in.
You just run through town at night unlocking all the doors. All right, guys, we'll be ready in the morning. We get back,
it's
all the doors are locked.
It's a D&D speedrun glitch.
I'm just like bicycle kicking through the town.
Oh, that's
all right,
funny.
Guys. Well, we'll see what we do with these boots next week. We'll be back with your regularly scheduled episode of The End at the End. Visit dndpodcast.org for more information. Until then, grab your sword and keep on adventuring.